morning, everyone. I'm sure we're all in the pink of health. I was expecting Cape Town to be 35 degrees, and it was quite cool when one arrived. So much for what happened.
We were very late.
Got off the plane expecting the worst, and it was surprisingly quite refreshing. Anyway, notwithstanding certain heat waves in other parts of the country, we are in a very comfortable situation in the climate. We are running two meetings Tuesday and Wednesday, in order to process the legislation that is even currently before us. And that has been implemented, but on a Tuesday we won't make it earlier than 9 except in exceptional circumstances to assist people. We've got two matters here before us. The one, of course, is following on the letter sent to the Speaker, and has been responded to the Speaker with respect to the tagging, etc. And the third issue, of course, is simply the subcommittee meeting, and I notice that you are here, Mr. Hill-Lewis, as well. I don't know if you're aware of that. I don't call the subcommittee meeting the subcommittee. As I say, I don't call that, but I'm just noticing. For the record, we always note it on the agenda. Right. Normally, we would have been sitting in the... Normally, I mean, who...
I understood that it is Mr. Hill-Lewis who's sitting on the committee, or is it your
brother? Oh, my apologies to you. My apologies. Right. No wonder you looked quite surprised. And I expect it wasn't going to be a problem because it was going to be a colloquium the whole morning in any event. On that particular note, I'd like to request the apologies from yourself, Mr. Herman.
Chairperson, I received no formal apologies from anyone. Just Mr. Salau indicated that you'll be attending the PC on Energy meeting this morning. That's the only apology that I've received.
We'll give you the opportunity, Honourable Abbott.
We just received an apology from Mr. Salau that you'll be attending the PC on Energy meeting, and that's the only apology that we received this morning. Also, Mr. Dr. Okoria, I'm seeing he indicated that he may have to leave early because he has another commitment in justice.
No, that's not a written apology. Honourable Ambrosini.
I'm asked to convey the apology of the Honourable McIntosh in some way.
Right. I thought he was a member of COPE, so in that respect we should get... No, I'm talking formally. No. We have to get the apology via COPE.
Madam Chairman, the apology is a message. And it's a message that can be conveyed through any agent, whether it's a secretary or otherwise, unless you doubt the genuine nature of my message. There is no reason not to accept this apology. It is. It could be conveyed by mail, by post. It's a message.
Yes, no, I don't want to depart from what has been the convention all along, and possibly even a rule that written apologies are here unless someone is ill, phones, and we are informed by their alternate, etc. So I don't want to go backwards on that. I'm sure we will get that from his secretary because that's what he normally does. Yes, Honourable Salam?
I'm not sure who's telling the truth between the committee secretary and myself, because she is crying tears now in the way I have been on her. Because I told her the first thing at about 8 o'clock this morning to put it in writing. And she says to me, she wrote it and sent it by 9 o'clock already. It was already in the committee secretary's office. But the committee secretary's report in this meeting that I have phoned and spoke to him when a written apology has been submitted. I don't agree with that because it causes unnecessary tension.
I think he acknowledged in the end that he had a written apology, so let's accept that there is a written apology here. But he did indicate it was the only written apology that he had. Thank you. And there aren't any other apologies. No. Right. So can I have someone to propose the adoption of a very short agenda? Thank you, Honourable van der Merwe, seconded by Honourable James. Can we, if the matter of the NCOP, as I said, we did confer with them directly with the chair and in writing, and without preempting the official position on the matter, the advice in this procedure, we will first have Mr. Hermans referring to that, because I raised the matter again with you on Friday. Perhaps you can indicate what has been proposed from the table.
Chairperson, in terms of the Joint Rule 203, we are required to confer with the NCP in going forward in terms of this matter. Rule 203 2, we must confer with the corresponding county committee if further preservation relates to procedural matter that involves council. As this is a matter that relates to the procedural matter that involves the council, we communicated with the council, the corresponding committee, through correspondence, requesting their attendance, and if they were unable, due to other commitments, not able to attend, they can do so in writing. The advice that we received is that we have communicated with them, and if we at this time today have not received anything in writing, we should proceed with the adopting the report.
Right, Honourable Lambrosini.
And just for clarity, I don't quite understand it. I hear the rule. The rule is that which concerns the council. Why does this concern the council? Obviously, each and every piece of legislation concerns the council, because in order to become a law, it needs to go to the council. So what that means there is that we cannot be handled by ourselves as a national assembly, which is not the case. The process here is that the president sent it back to us, and we are now under the obligation of Section 18 of the Traditional Leadership Act. Before the National Assembly deliberates on the bill as a plenary, we need to have the opinion of the House of Traditional Leaders. So it seems to me that there is not a great deal of deliberation here. We need to get the bill, send it to the House of Traditional Leaders, depending on government priorities, give them a deadline within which sending back the comments. Then we deliberate, and then we send it to the NCOP. Only at that point will the NCOP be seized with the matter.
Thank you very much. You will recall that we sent a letter to the Speaker after our last deliberation on the matter, and indicated that we had accepted that particular position, referred it back, indicated we did not have the authority to tag, etc., and so on. We did get a letter back, which you should have had here, so that everyone can read this letter. I will just, for the record, indicate that on the 19th of September, the President recommitted the above bill back to the National Assembly for reconsideration in terms of 79(1) of the Constitution. The President is inter alia of the view that the bill was incorrectly tagged as Section 75, and that the the bill was not referred to the National House of Traditional Leaders for comment, as required by Section 18(1) of the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act of 2003. The Joint Tagging Mechanism has considered the above matters. We are in agreement with the President that the IPLAB is the Section 76 bill, as it substantially affects certain items listed in Schedule 4 to the Constitution, namely traditional leadership and cultural matters. In this regard, the JTM is of the view that the bill must be dealt with in terms of the procedure stipulated in Section 76 of the Constitution. With regard to the referral of the IPLAB to the NHTL, we are of the view that as the Portfolio Committee of Trade and Industry actively solicited the views of the NHTL when processing the IPLAB Section 18(1) of the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act 2003, was substantially complied with, and as such, it is not necessary to resubmit the bill to the NHTL for comment. Right, I will call upon yourself, Advocate van der Merwe, as our dedicated legal advisor, to comment further. You've heard the Secretary indicating the procedure that we will adopt.
Thank you,
Madam Chair. Can we not perhaps have some comments amongst ourselves first, and then that will enable the Advocate van der Merwe to comment on our comments?
You wish to take the first
part. If you allow me to. Thank you, Madam Chair. I mean, I made the point about the fact that the ball is in our court and we don't need to wait for the NCOP. The letter of the Speaker says it clear that the President recommitted the above bill back to the National Assembly. So it is here, once we're finished here, we send it to the Council. That's point number one. Point number two, as respectfully as I can make it, but as strongly as I can make it, the third paragraph of this letter is wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. There is no such a thing in law as substantial compliance with a procedural step. There is no such a thing as substantial compliance with a procedural step. If something needs to go to an organ of state, it needs to go to an organ of state. The fact that the House of Traditional Leaders came and spoke to us is completely different from the bill being tabled there. They're deliberating amongst themselves as a house. They're soliciting public inputs from their communities and traditional leaders in terms of their rules. They're receiving a deliberation, and then conveying the deliberation formally to us. It's a complete different process. And whoever gave his advice gave very, very wrong advice. Now, I thought that the first time around it came back, if we want to play a yo-yo situation where this bill comes up and down and then it gets finally declared unconstitutional because the National Assembly didn't have the power to adopt it, then we take the risk. But I really don't understand how anyone can give a legal opinion of this nature. What I would like for this committee, I don't expect to take my opinion. Let's get a constitutional lawyer, a senior counsel opinion on this very point, because it's the least we can do to protect ourselves from making yet another mistake. Plus, the House of Traditional Leaders has indicated that they want to deliberate on this bill. So, I mean, what also the policy level, what right do we have to tell them not to?
Thank you very much, Honourable Ambrosini. Honourable Hadebe.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that when a person looks at this letter, it puts us on a very dicey situation. situation. It puts us in a very dicey situation, because if you can look at paragraph 2, it's very clear that the joint taking mechanism now agrees with the president. But what was in the first instance, the issue of paying the bill is not the responsibility of this committee. It was checked by them in the first instance. So that's why I'm saying that I'm very disappointed with everything that they didn't do their work properly. In such way that, yeah, the joint taking mechanism, they didn't do their work properly. That's why now we're left with this thing on our table. But what is critical here is the issue that let us refer this bill to the NCOP. If they want to retake it as a section 76 bill, let us refer it back as so that it can be retaken as 76, so that the processes which apply to 76 will then be undertaken on the side of the NCOP. Because really what is critical here is that the work which was done on our side was up to scratch. That's why the president does not have a reservation about that. That's why the processes on our side were taken as pro. The only issue was the issue of tagging. So let this tagging go back, because really on our side, we did consult with the National House of Traditional Leaders. That's why we solicited their opinion. If they want to have a tag, it's fine. Let them have it through the process of the NCOP on the other side. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Are there any other comments? No.
Yes. We are not discussing the report.
No. You will remember we sent a letter to the Speaker after the last. He responded. And that was simply to do on the tagging, etc. So at this particular meeting now, as I say, we are moving on a way forward. Right. Honourable Advocate van der Merwe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think both questions I'll address through one answer. And that is maybe just to remind members, because this process unfortunately has come over a long period of time, and we might have forgotten some steps that were actually taken. You will recall that the Speaker's office actually requested an opinion from Senior Counsel Denzel Potgieter and Ron Paschke, who are in fact constitutional administrative law experts. The opinion that we received from these two counsel conjointly stated that the object of Section 18(1) of the Additional Leadership Act was in fact achieved, and that is why there is substantial compliance and it does not have to be referred. These two counsel also then discussed the matter of the tagging, and they were of the opinion that it is a Section 76. So the joint tagging mechanism's response, I think, is in line with this opinion received from senior counsel. So that is where we came from. That is where we have reached where we are now. The advice that the committee received after Speaker's office has signed off this opinion, the opinion was shared with this committee. The NA table staff then advised this committee that it is not for this committee to make the final decision on the tagging, on the referral. That is a function of the joint tagging mechanism, which is why this committee approached the joint tagging mechanism, and this is then their opinion, which accords now with senior counsel opinion on the matter. Going forward, it is then now required for this committee, as was explained, the conferral with the National Council of Provinces in terms of the rule. We have interrogated that matter on Friday between myself, the secretary, the staff of the NA table, our bills office, to make sure that this committee will be complying if there is a request sent out and if the council provinces, that select committee, is not able to attend. And we were assured that in the past there has been this precedent, in other words, where an actual conferral couldn't occur by meeting, which is preferred, but then as long as opinions could be shared, and if nothing is forthcoming, nothing is forthcoming. So the next process, of course, is then to file a report with the National Assembly, and then again, the National Assembly table staff advised that although the decision will be requested to be rescinded, the work done on the bill should remain, because there was nothing wrong with the work done on the bill to date. So I think that is then what will be reflected. Thank you.
Right. I see there are some other hands, but the purpose of our meeting was really to get that way forward. We took a decision at a previous committee in which we said we would accept this. We sent it back, and I'm not going to go backwards now. I'm going to go forwards. The decision was to await that re-tagging, full stop. In our report, which at the time we referred to in passing, that could follow that process, already refers to the NHTL. So any reservations some members may have there, it is covered in our report back to the House. And I do know this went out to every member. I'm holding it up so that members can clearly see, I see the hand, Honourable Ambrosini, that under 6, I think it's under 6 or was it under 5, the reference of the NHTL is dealt with, and the House will take a decision on that matter. That's it. So, certainly, just for the record, I'll read out what we decided to put in. We haven't adopted this yet, but I'm saying what is the committee believes that Section 18(1) of the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act 2003 has been substantially complied with, and that it is not necessary to refer it there as per the procedure, etc. The committee, therefore, rejects the President's reservation of the that Section 18(1) of the TLGF Act was not complied with. However, if the House, notwithstanding the committee's opinion, prefers that the bill should be referred to the NHTL, it should do so. So you give the House that opportunity. So you don't stop that process at all. Honourable Ambrosini, followed by Honourable Khatibi.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. First of all, in this occasion and other occasions, and I raised this point before, who are legal opinions given to? I mean, I find that flabbergasting that we know that there are legal opinions rendered to Parliament, and we, the members of Parliament, don't have them. It is, no, this legal opinion, I've not received it. Oh, then I apologize. Then I like to have it. I haven't seen it. But being as it may, I maintain as strongly as possible that it is wrong. Wrong opinion, perhaps the wrong instruction were given, and I will study the opinion for the very simple fact that we have not, to the best of my recollection, and correct me, Madam Chairman, if I'm wrong, we have not met with the House of Traditional Leaders. We have met with representatives of the House of Traditional Leaders. The House of Traditional Leaders is a collegial body in which the traditional leader with the smallest clan has the right to have his say. That collegial body, the totality of the body, has not come together to deliberate. And there is the possibility that one of them could have had a different opinion. So this is my concern, that procedurally you cannot skip a procedural step, which is a constitutional step. And this notion of substantial compliance with constitutional procedural state is just not acceptable. During the deliberations, both the DA and the IFP, and if I well remember, COP, insisted for that referral. And it's because we insisted on that referral only also with a view to putting to the House of Traditional Leaders. the possibility of a sui generis bill. And there has been no deliberation in that respect. So I must reiterate, at least on my side, the validity of that position. Finally, Madam Chairman, it seems that we are a committee. We report to the National Assembly. And we make a recommendation. And we say, National Assembly, that's the way we feel about it. In each and every report, the National Assembly has the power to reject the report and reject the recommendation and deliberate just the opposite. For us to report by saying, well, that's the way we feel about it, but hey, if you feel differently, do as you wish. I mean, really shows no strength or conviction. Let's do the right thing. Let's send this to the House of Traditional Leaders. Let's give them a very stringent term, 30 calendar days, to get back with comments. And, you know, all they need is an opportunity. If within 30 days they don't speak up, they need to shut up, and it's done. And then there is no procedural problem, there is no defect, there is no Ambrosini jumping up and down in the National Assembly saying you're violating the Constitution.
Well, let me just, it's clear that you've been under a lot of pressure because you didn't study your documents.
No,
you did, sir, you did, Honourable Member. On page 33, the opinion about the referral of this bill, it makes it clear with reference to actual documentation and proceedings. The chairperson of the Portfolio Committee did refer the bill to the NHTL, and the NHTL made submissions on the bill both in writing and orally at a public hearing. Accordingly, there was compliance. Now, you know, I don't want to debate what is already a factual account. Honourable Khadebi?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that with the report which we are having in front of us, because we cannot be going back and back, because I think that we've gone through that. That the parties have changed their members, really, it is not the problem of this committee. Because their records are there, there are a lot of them, and they are available for public consumption. But on the issue of the report change, I'll concur. The only part I concur with is Mr. Ambrosini, is the part whereby we give a House some sort of a lukewarm recommendation. No, I don't think that is correct. I think that we must be firm. We know what we did. We've got, I think that we've got strong convictions on what we have done. That's why for this bill, Chair, I can stand on top of the highest building in the country and say that we did the right thing. There are no two ways about that. But what I'm having a serious reservation with is the issue of that lukewarm recommendation to the House. Number two is the issue of the committee rejecting the president's reservation. Because if the committee was rejecting the president's reservation, I think that the president had a right to have a reservation around that. Because this thing starts with the issue of tagging. But the matter that there was a problem with tagging, it means that the president had a right to have some sort of a reservation. So we cannot just totally reject that as the committee. So I know that there are people who got better English. I'm a stupid boy. I'm not an English. English is the fifth language from my side. So I think that if we can just rework that part and then send the report to the assembly, I'll be fine.
Right. Thank you very much, Honourable Khadebi. Honourable Salah had his hand up, and I'm going to allow you to speak last, Honourable Vandermeer, because you chair the subcommittee as well. Honourable Salah?
No, Chairperson, I just wanted to say, if I am not in the meeting, and the meeting puts an item on the table and resolves on that item, the day I am in a meeting, I cannot say that that item was never put on the table.
Thank you very much. Honourable James, you did have your hand up, but you've... It's fine now, right?
No, I do want to speak, but perhaps...
Honourable Vandermeer. Because she chairs the subcommittee. Honourable James.
It's a really minute.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to let the committee know that I submitted a private member's bill to the Speaker's office this morning. and it's a private member's bill that is titled Protection of Traditional Knowledge Bill. And what it is, it's a sui generis piece of legislation that will be introduced because we think that the commercialization of indigenous knowledge is best dealt with through a dedicated law. So I have the copies of it here. It's a fully drafted piece of legislation, and it meets all of the requirements in terms of a memorandum to introduce it. I won't speak to the merits of it, but it's there for members to look at. And it, in my view, is a much better piece of legislation than what has been put together. And it meets world standards in terms of the requirements. So I thought I'd let you know that. I met first with the chair this morning as a courtesy to let her know that too. And that what I have asked is a normal request from the speaker that the PMB be sent to the JTM for final tag. And it is likely to be referred here, but it's the speaker will make that process decision. So, thank you.
Thank you, Honourable James. I don't want to refer to that right now, but I will before we close the meeting. Yes, Honourable Vandermeulen.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, that I don't need to touch on that because that is a new bill. Basically, we do need to report on our deliberations on this one. But I think it is instructive that we look at the report before us. I mean, that is the way I've approached it. And the President's reservations are set out into the four points he made. I have two remarks about the way the report is drafted. I think in item 3, where it says the committee is the view that the bill is not a money bill, I think we should rather say that the committee concurs with the President's view that the bill is not a money bill. I mean, we have said that all along. He just reaffirmed that. That was presented by the opposition in his letter to the President, and I think the committee has to say that. I think that paragraph 4 is fine, because there we again, the JTM concurred with the President's view, so we are going to have it re-tagged, and that is something that we've all learnt along the way. I think paragraph 5 should be redrafted in the following way. I think it should start with, the committee has taken note of the President's reservation that section 18.1 of the TLGF Act was not complied with. However, it's the wording on the top of the next page. However, the committee believes that section, then you carry on with what is said here, and then you stop. The committee believes that section 18 of the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act of 2003 has been substantially complied with, and that it is not necessary to refer to the bill to the National House as per the procedure stipulated in 18.1 of the TLGF Act. And I agree with my colleagues who have said that we shouldn't leave it to the House, because if we can't give them a recommendation, how is the House going to decide? So I think we should just end it there, unless we want to refer to the section in the opinion that details the consultation that has already taken place, which we could do, because that clearly identifies all the procedures that were taken in reference to this particular matter. And then I think we will have a cleaner report in that respect. So 6 and 6.1 and 2 I would agree with as well. Thank you, Chair.
Right. I'm obviously... the secretary will read it out again, and where he falters, you will just simply pick up and fill in. But members, what I'm going to do now is to put this report before you. We need to move on in, I hope, and I believe a responsible manner. Report of the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry on the Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Bill, dated the 5th of March 2013. Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry, having reconsidered the Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Bill, B8, B2010, introduced in the National Assembly as Section 75, and the President's reservations on the constitutionality thereof, ATC reports 26 September 2013, and having conferred with the Select Committee on Trade and International Relations, reports as follows. In a letter dated 19 September 2012, the President of the Republic informed the National Assembly that he had reservations about the constitutionality of the IPLAB, National Assembly, Section 75, and that consequently he is referring the bill back to the National Assembly for reconsideration in terms of Section 79(1) of the Constitution. Two, the President's reservations relate to the following. Although a concern was raised that the bill is a money bill, the President was advised that it is not. B. The bill ought to have been referred to the National House of Traditional Leaders in terms of Section 18(1) of the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act 2003 TLGF Act. C. The provisions of the bill affect certain members listed in matters listed in Schedule 4 of the Constitution, which are not necessarily the main subject of the bill. In particular, traditional leadership and cultural matters, and should therefore be dealt with in terms of Section 76 of the Constitution. D. Public participation may not have been sufficiently facilitated. The committee, having considered the President's reservations with respect to the Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Bill, B8B2010, in terms of Joint Rule 203, reports as follows. 3. The committee concurs that the bill is not a money bill, concurs with the President, I think, with the President's view that the bill is not a money bill and therefore does not fall under Section 77 of the Constitution, 1996. 4. With respect to the President's reservations, that provisions of the bill substantially affect certain matters listed in Schedule 4 of the Constitution, in particular traditional leadership and cultural matters, and should therefore be dealt with in terms of Section 76 of the Constitution. The committee is of the opinion that the bill does not deal with traditional leadership. However, as to whether the bill deals with cultural matters, the committee requested the opinion of the JTM. The JTM concurred with the President's reservation that the bill affects cultural matters in a substantial manner, and therefore the committee agrees with the President's reservation regarding Section 76 process and the facilitation of public involvement in the NCOP. 5. Now, that is slightly different. It would appear as if, from what you propose then, Honourable Brenda Merva, that we go along with removing the first few lines. Is that no? Keep those in. All right. Let me ask the Secretary to read that then, on mic.
The committee has taken note of the President's reservation that Section 18(1) of the TLGF Act was not complied with. However, the committee believes that that Section 18(1) of the Division Leadership and Governance Framework Act 203 has been substantially complied with and that it is not necessary to refer the bill to the National House of Traditional Leaders as per the procedures debated in Section 18(1) of the TLGF Act. Full stop.
Has everyone got that?
No.
Now, I'm just checking first. Just read that again.
Yeah.
Read it again, please.
Can I just add something? That we keep that little one in footnotes,
yes,
which will deal with your
yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So that is clear.
The committee has taken note of the President's reservation that Section 18(1) of the TLG Act, F Act, Act 203 has been substantially complied with, and that it is not necessary to refer the bill to the National House of Opposition Leaders, NHC, as per the procedures submitted in Section 81 of the TLGF Act. We'll stop.
I mean, you do have it retained that opinion. Carry on. You can raise your hand afterwards, and I have noticed it. Well, then the thing is here that when we are recommending that the decision of the House, we've already taken a position that already, that's why I said, it's not a question. We're saying that the committee recommends that the decision of the House to pass the bill pass the bill as a Section 75 bill taken on the 21st November 2011 be rescinded, but that it noted in the resolution that 6.1, any consultation, consideration and deliberation process conducted by the committee on the bill, as well as the results of such process, are not rescinded and remains validly executed. And 6.2, the bill is retained in its current form as processed by the committee. Those are the amendments put forward here to the report you have in front of you. You had your hand up, Honourable Ambrosini.
I would like the report of my views. But before I do so, if I may ask you a question for clarification. The committee is acting on the basis of understanding the substantial compliance with the Act. This substantial compliance is based on the opinion. These opinions say that there has been substantial compliance for one reason and one reason only. It says the only difference between what happened and what should have happened is paragraph 16. It says the chairperson, you chairperson, referred it instead of the Secretary of Parliament. So it's just the only difference. And on that basis, they render the opinion, and on that basis, this committee is doing the report. My question to you is, as to the best of your knowledge, the House of Traditional Leaders as a body met? Because the difference that the writers of this opinion do not seem to appreciate, which Gilbert Marcus appreciated when he gave the opinion to the President, is that the additional difference is that you did not refer it in terms of Section 81 of the Act. You just referred for comment. And by not having it referred in terms of that section, your request did not trigger the mechanism through which the House is convened, meets, and deliberates. So what I'm asking you before I put my opinion, my minority view on the report, are my facts correct? Am I correct on the information I received that the House of Traditional Leaders did not meet and that your transmittal was not in terms of Section 81, 18 sub 1, but merely for comment?
Let me just confer for a moment with the committee secretary on the matter.
Thank you.
cannot be exposed to that is an advantage. You know. Just follow the majority.
We were very fortunate that as Ben Mirabel also joined us here, she was present during the whole process. The clarification I really required was just to check as to how we had corresponded in view of your statement there, Honourable Ambrosini. And when I got the information, it was also pointed out to me the correct interpretation with respect, not even interpretation, but exactly what the 18.1 requires one. Now, so that all of us can be have an awareness of what this is, let me ask Advocate van der Merwe to read that out, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Section 81 of the Traditional Leadership Act reads as follows. Paragraph A. Any parliamentary bill pertaining to customary law or customs of traditional communities must, before it is passed by the House of Parliament where it was introduced, in this case the National Assembly, be referred by the Secretary of Parliament to the National House of Traditional Leaders for its comments. That is the only requirement on Parliament. The only aspect that we differed was that it was sent by the chairperson and not by the secretary. Paragraph B then provides, and this pertains to the House of Traditional Leaders, and it places an obligation on them to the National House of Traditional Leaders must, within 30 days from the date of such referral, make any comments it wishes to make. So there is no requirement of having to meet. There is no requirement of having to confer. All that the National Assembly has to do is to send out the request for comments. It is then on the National House of Traditional Leaders to make any comments. And the letter that I was provided with that request, was directed to the National House of Traditional Leaders. It was addressed to the chairperson, but the request clearly states that the National House is requested to comment. So in my opinion, that was complied with, and that is what Council also confirmed, is that it was complied with substantially.
Madam Chairman, I'm not asking from you, just the facts. My question is, was the request made in terms of Section 18 sub 1, yes or no? Because all sorts of people can request the opinion of the House of Traditional Leaders, and the House of Traditional Leaders deliberates as a collegial body on 18 sub 1 request. It is not there, it's in the rules of the House of Traditional Leaders, which I had the pleasure of participating in writing.
In terms of that section, we made every effort to comply, and in fact, in the opinion, that was acknowledged. But what was very clear, and I hope we've made that clear, that it further stated that the Parliament Secretary should have, in the first instance, done that process, undertaking it. However, that did not detract from the substantial compliance with that particular clause. Yes, Honourable Hill Lewis?
Chair, just as someone without the background knowledge when this bill was being deliberated on by the committee, why did it happen that the Secretary did not do the referral and that it was done by you?
I'd have to go back in history, and that never came up in any, but you know, because I do, unfortunately, haven't got my diary here with me, so you're asking me for a specific reason. However, we did have the advocate with us at all times. Yes, you may have something on that.
Thank you.
Mary?
No, just please move on.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The reason why it was done by the chairperson is that the initial opinion when the JTM was advised is that Section 18.1 does not apply to the bill because it does not deal with customs. So because it was initially classified as that it does not apply, the Secretary then did not refer. However, when the committee met, they felt that it sufficiently affects that they felt even though the Act does not apply, that the National House of Traditional Leaders' comments would be valuable in the process. And that is why then the request went out from the chairperson.
At the time, I remember we had several opinions. It wasn't only the Honourable Van der Merwe present at the time. And none of them came back in support of that. Those who were in the subcommittee at any point in time, the Honourable Van der Merwe can contribute, but she hasn't got her hand up. Honourable Sadebe?
Just Shepherdson, to ask another fellow question, I think, to the Reverend. After you send that letter to the House of Traditional Leaders, what did they do? Did they send anyone? Did they submit any opinion around that letter?
Well, I think the opinion makes it very clear, and also in respect of our own records, that, and I'll read it as such, that the committee, I'm just noting here, acknowledges the important role the NHTL plays in rural communities where there is an abundance of traditional knowledge systems. The committee wishes to invite the NHTL to comment on the bill as the committee values the input and contribution, etc. Goes on. In fact, the NHTL not only sent back a written submission as a house, but it also came there in person, not with one person. And so, just a question. I'm not going to pursue this matter, but I'm going to allow you to complete.
Because I would be on the floor. I'd ask two clarifications. The first one was, did you send it in terms of 81? The answer is no, because at the time, everyone, Janke van der Merwe said, we don't have to, and the only two people who said we you have to was myself and Dean Harris. Number two, you did not request them to comment, as the Act requires, in terms of 18.2, as Janke van der Merwe read. You invited them to comment. Request and invited are two different legal categories. She has read request, you said invite. The legal opinion said the process, and paragraph 17, is peremptory. That's what the legal opinion said, it's peremptory. So this is not compliant. Number two, I asked, has the House met to deliberate? Because on many requests, when they ask the opinion, they've got a little committee which gives the opinion. And I have not got an answer in this respect. So as far as I'm concerned, in terms of what is Rule 251, sub 3, sub G, sub II, I request that my minority view be recorded, that there are no basis to believe that Section 18.1 of the Act have been complied with. And that's the first view. The second view, which is very, very important, if we need to be true to the process we are involved in, if the Honourable James has introduced a bill on the very same subject matter, which will need to go properly and duly to the House of Traditional Leaders, I don't think that we should finalize discussion on the one bill without being, when then we are required by law, rules and constitution to take a look at what he has put forward. It would stand to reason that we look at the two things together, we look whether his bill is better than what we have now, and everything can be improved upon. And even if we look at it very quickly, and we throw it away very quickly, if it's a wish, but we have the constitutional obligation before finalizing our deliberation on this bill and sending it up to the National Assembly, we have the constitutional obligation to at least take a look at what he has introduced without preempting it. Because obviously if we pass the other bill and we relinquish our things, it becomes really a mockery of democracy if we then apply our mind, as we are constitutionally required to do, to what is tabled.
Thank you. Honourable Kadebe.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that the people must not try to hold on this process yet. The fact that we are having two separate processes here One, the first process is the issue of what this bill, having for property laws amendment bill, L-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2- spoken about. These are two separate issues. We cannot try to conflate them into one. We cannot try to conflate. Because as we're speaking now, we don't even have that. As was because that bill, that issue, Honourable Chief Justice, tabled to the Speaker, is going to refer to this committee by the Speaker of Parliament. It's going to refer to it. When it comes here, we'll apply, we'll do our due diligence in applying our minds in dealing with that. So what is expected of us here, Chairperson, cannot never be expected on that, is that here the President has his reservation, we are addressing that, let's get that through and let's go and complete it. The sooner this one comes, the better. There's no problem with that. So let us not try to conflate these two things. There are two separate issues. So the issue is, Comrade Chairperson, we have done our work. Even although we were not expected, to refer this thing to the House of Representatives, this committee on its own volition, it was able to go and solicit their opinion. They didn't only give a written response. They gave a written response and they came to the committee and made a presentation. As I asked the previous question, the other question which a person must ask again, did the House of Traditional Leaders complain about that?
Not at all.
Did they raise any complaint about this? The House of Traditional didn't raise any complaint. The issue here is that the President wanted us to start ourselves so that if there are people who got enough money in the family trust to take the government to court, that process can be avoided. So here we've done our job. Let's adopt the report and pass it through. And then the privilege is coming from the DA. If they feel that it is good, we'll apply our minds accordingly at that time. Thank you, Chief.
Right. I'm simply awaiting from yourself, Honourable Ambrosini, the minority view in writing.
You want to be writing?
Yes. You remember we did have a little confusion on one previous occasion, and I wouldn't like to misrepresent your views because they are not mine, you know, they are minority view, which we'll capture under that rule. So if you could just, even through a stick, let's see that. Honourable James.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Having worked on this subject now, in some detail, it is not clear to me how it was possible to not believe that custom was a very important part of what had to be dealt with, because the intellectual property question comes into play when custom or cultural practice, custom is a cultural practice, becomes distilled into material objects. Whether it is a piece of theater, whether it's a book, whether it is a design on a house. So custom is relevant, and therefore, because it's relevant, I believe that this should have gone to the House of Traditional Leaders on the basis of Section 18.1A, and that it believed that it was ill-advised for the Secretary of Parliament not to send it. And therefore, my view is that we should adhere to Section 1A, that it has to be referred to the House of Traditional Leaders by the Secretary of Parliament.
Do you have any comments on that?
Well,
you know, no,
if you don't wish to, it's fine. We have been through them repeatedly. At the time, some of these issues did not come up. However, the issue that did come back on several occasions was the money bill aspect of the region. And those are the two factors. One is tested as given, but the three genders remain a different opinion in this regard. So I am going to have put this already before you. The Honourable Ambrosini has asked for his views to be noted here, which it will be noted, and I'm now on the basis of that, just the minority view, which will be part of the report, as we know in terms of that rule. to now proceed, or did you want to say something before we proceed with the local meeting?
Are we not going to have that interview on first?
Yes.
If we can have it first, so that you know that what happened to the board of us.
5 minute break, please. 5 minutes. Okay, the report will be yes, as we said last time, it was not captured correctly. And there was an excuse because of the high capacity, so we will find some of the information.
majority view that would accompany the report in terms of, I think, 231, wasn't it? 2513.
In terms of National Assembly Rule 2513E2, the Honourable Bussini expressed the following minority view. The committee has reached a different opinion than the President with respect to the compliance with the National House Opposition Leaders Act on the basis of the legal opinion, which states that the only differences between the preliminary formalities required by the statute is the bill was referred to the National House of National Leaders by the chairperson of the proposed committee rather than the Secretary of Parliament. The facts are different. The chairperson did not request comments in terms of Section 18.1 of the National House of Media Act, but invited its comments. Hence, the NHRT did not meet formally and deliberate formally as a judicial body. Two, the Honourable Committee James has introduced a private member's bill on the same subject matter, but with a different approach. The committee can apply its mind to take this bill and reach the conclusion that its previous deliberations are satisfactory without really giving itself the opportunity of considering the Honourable James' bill.
I hope everyone heard that particular one. I have one problem here myself, and that I have a reference to another bill on the table, which has been, of course, handed in at the Speaker's office. It has. But in view of that as well, there are other bills being handed in, both from the ministers as well as, of course, private members' bills that are not necessarily referred to this committee per se. And we can only deal with bills referred to this committee as such. So I do have a problem with including that as a bill per se. And I find myself in a difficulty here. I'll just get, the legal status of that. It is a private member's bill. It has been stamped and acknowledged that it went to the Speaker's office, I think, this morning. Yes. And I just have a legal opinion on that quickly. My own view is that it should not be included because would we then include one that had gone to health, one and that had gone somewhere else? No. So I'm not sure why we should suddenly include that as part of the minority opinion. I'd rather hear the
that's my opinion. Whether it's wrong, stupid, or legally unsound, it doesn't matter. Anything that you say does not matter. I'm entitled to opinion, good opinion, bad opinion, stupid opinion, legally incorrect opinion. The chair, not the committee, has the authority to take my opinion, judge my opinion, and it will be recorded. So whatever opinion you may have on my opinion, does not really matter. Recording my opinion.
No, it's not on the opinion, even in the house. If a matter is on the table, and as you talk, it's your opinion, but it's not on the matter, you are out of order. You can't simply, ministers have been called to order on that particular matter by the Speaker. You are not dealing with the issue. And so, it's not because it is your opinion. The minority opinion that will be captured is with respect to 18.1. And I'm saying it is on that basis that I asked for just a clarification on that ruling. Not because people aren't entitled to opinions, but those opinions need to be in respect of the issue in question. And I don't believe it is.
My minority view is not
in respect of 18.1. One is about point one. The rest is about the rest of the report. The rest of the report says that we are satisfied with our deliberations. On that piece of legislation. I make the point, which is about this piece of legislation, that I cannot, I as a member of parliament, cannot say that I'm satisfied because I haven't had the opportunity of considering the alternative approach. This is my
my view. It's about this bill. I'm not satisfied. I cannot. It's about the same subject matter, because I know that there is something else out there which I've not had the opportunity of considering. That's my view, and it is about this bill. So here's the matter whether you allow me to express my view or not.
That is not the point at all. Honorable Khadebe?
Comrade Chairperson, I think that what the honorable members do is sneaky, because the issue of sui generis was raised in the public hearing before. The very first report which went to Parliament. He cannot try to sneak it back now, yeah. Because what is critical here, Chairperson, is that we are dealing with a referral from the president. The referral from the president does not mean the substance of the bill. So why must we be entangled on that? You are correct here when you are saying that we cannot interpret the part which they have a claim to get into is the issue of that section. That's the one which must reflect on our report. I don't think that we need a legal opinion around that.
Well, I will quote from the rule just to which would agree with what align with what I said and also agree with the whip has been saying. And this is with references to these referrals. Must confine itself to the president's reservation. And that is what we are doing here. We are confining ourselves to the president's reservation. So we will capture point one, which ends as a collegial body. And we are not going to capture your point two. I need to make that clear and the reasons why that is the case.
I object.
Chairperson, I would...
Oh, sorry, I didn't notice your hand. Honourable Hill Lewis, hang on.
Honourable Hill Lewis. Chairperson, whether we agree with Honourable Ambrosini's opinion or not, the fact is it is his minority opinion. We can't, I don't think it's within the right of this committee or any committee to edit a minority opinion. That's his view. If it's completely wrong, so be it. But that is his view.
Nevertheless, we must also abide by our own rules. We have to. I can demand to speak in a huff because I want to. I'm not simply allowed to. There are rules which have been adopted by this huff, rightly or wrongly, you may now disagree, but there's a process to get them changed. And the minority view will confine itself to this, and it is on that basis, on the rule that I read out per se, that we are going to leave it. Obviously, members are always entitled to take matters further than the chair has ruled. Honourable Hill Lewis?
Chair, will you please note my objection as well?
On what basis?
I don't think that it's procedurally correct for you to edit a member's minority views. I disagree with the ruling.
I have not edited his position with respect to the rule that refers to this. I have not. His opinion with respect to the issues raised in the President's reservations have been dealt with. Your objection is in relation to point two. So it will therefore not be noted, and I'm telling you that now.
So you're not noting the objection?
I'm not noting it on that basis.
So you're censoring... On that basis. You're censoring the objection to your censoring. That not even the Spanish Inquisition reached. I mean, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for your, you know, sort of comment there. It is not appreciated. We're not in the Spanish Inquisition. Or any form of Inquisition. Thank you. Right. Now I'm putting this before you. The report is a minority view under one. Sorry, Honourable James.
Chairman, as a person responsible for the PNB, let me just say the following. that my view is, in terms of the issue before us, is that the matter should have been referred to the House of Traditional Leaders by the Secretary of Parliament. And therefore, Section 18.1A ought to be followed. And that is my position in terms of what we have before us. What happens in terms of the private member's bill would have to follow its own course. On that basis, my comment. Thank you.
Can just indicate my understanding of what you said. You are in support of point one.
Yeah.
So can I note that as part, as a second minority view? That's what I'm asking. Yes, that's to be noted as a VA in terms of the minority views, that the VA supports the position raised in one. Are we correct there? Thank you very much. I still needed to have put this before you to get it adopted. So I've read the report. There's been two minority views attached. Can we then get a proposer for this report to adopt the committee report? Thank you, Honourable van der Merwe, seconded by Honourable Salah. The objections of the DA can... Is that correct? Is it a view or an objection? I need to be clear on that. Your minority view is captured. Is there an objection to the report?
Objection.
Thank you.
Objection.
Objection. Right. Thank you. The committee report will go to the House. Thank you. Members, there has... The subcommittee called by the chair on the BBBEE will now meet. Is that correct? Yes, Honourable.
Madam Chair, I think I've dropped the ball here, and I'm not totally sure whether I am on this subcommittee or not. And if I were, I would like, if I weren't, I'd like to be on account of the famous metaphor being inside or outside the tent.
Well, as I say, it's a very small one. The ANC does have its two members. We have got a member of the DA already present there, and we were hoping to keep it to three members, although if you certainly have your usual walk-in rights, because I think you have often said to me at any rate that you have difficulty in always coming to all of those meetings. I think you've made that clear.
I would like to be a member of the subcommittee.
Right. Thank you. Right.
So that enables me to receive notices and documents. I'd like to be a formal member.
That's fine. No, that's fine. You will get that. Thank you very much. Honourable
Hill-Lewis? Chair, I wonder if I could request that the Secretary also include me on the notices. I'm not going to be a member, but I would at some, you know, as often as I can, like to walk in. So if I could just know when the meetings are.
We're not having more than two from opposition members, no. They're all of us, you know, I find it strange. The notices we don't all receive, but we actually all receive its work in the committee. It's just that from time to time they get down to unpack an issue. We get a report back and the documents. The documents aren't closed. It's a formal meeting. It is a formal meeting. And that is why the committee secretary has to be there. What it does mean is that it doesn't have all the other issues such as correcting, you know, with your seven, etc. And it does need... It doesn't even meet every week on some issues, and on other issues it meets twice a week. But if we're going to all be there, then we may as well avail ourselves. Whenever I do want to get involved, I have to stop myself for the simple reason it's coming back here, that decision. And it'd be difficult for me to go in there and come out here. we've said is the ANC will have two, and we'll have a maximum of two opposition members. And usually that comes from two different parties. Yes.
Chair, sorry if you misunderstood me. I don't want to be a member.
Yeah.
All I want to do is just, if I could receive the notices of the meetings, because I have an interest in the subject and would like to walk in when I can, just to see the meetings and get down into the detail of the subjects as a matter of interest. I don't want to be a member. If I could just be added to the mailing list.
I'm the principal person, Madam Chair, from the DSI. Clearly, he's interested in the subject. But I'll be working very closely with my colleagues on this, partly because of the fact that I often cannot make meetings. I won't make a meeting with them. Please do not this coming Friday. Because I'd like him to then.
Other member who used to be a full member could not make it. We want continuity. That is the issue, continuity. And we're going to at times be running two subcommittees, and this becomes a problem as well for the smaller parties to divide themselves, not so much for the ANC to divide themselves. So we have asked for members, please, to provide a continuity. I do that in the ANC myself. The same two members must attend that. And any member who has sat on one of those committees, as I think you may have, will tell you that it's like a pressure hull in that subject. It really is. So we can't, you know, what I don't want to do is at this stage in this year start saying, all right, anyone of the ANC can just walk in. It reduces the whole purpose. If one member is going to miss, what usually happens is if it's a very critical issue, because it's a subcommittee, the times are readjusted. And I think you know that yourself, to accommodate the missing member. But the working group, any working group, consists of a consistent group of doesn't matter what it is, whether it's in the legal profession or any other profession. Thank you. What I'd like to do is to adjourn the meeting so that we discuss the subcommittee on the note that there is no fear in this venue to discuss these things.
Not about you.